So today what I want to do, and I'm going to do part number 5, as you can read, on what is so amazing about grace. And you probably figured by now that we've also, within this bigger series, we're doing a mini-series type of thing, and today's the last one in this vein. But to understand the grace of God, we've had to lay a good foundation. And I want to just say to you that if you've missed parts 1 to 5, you need to go and listen to them, because it's a body of truth that we're trying to bring across, that we're trying to share, a whole body of truth. Someone asked me a question last week, and I figured by their question that they didn't understand. Well, maybe it's just the way I communicate, I don't know. But we're not under law, we're under grace. And we'll explain that more, because that doesn't stand alone by itself. We don't live in the old covenant, we live in the new covenant. We don't live under an old dispensation, we live under the new dispensation. And all and part of parcel of that is where we've been preaching and teaching and looking at. So I'm going to do a little bit of a recap quickly. I've got quite a bit of time this morning, so I can do this quickly. So we looked at, right in the very beginning, apostles and prophets, focuses, foundations, and grace. Paul wrote to infant believers in Corinth that he had decided to know nothing but Jesus and his crucifixion. The writer of Hebrews also states that we are infants. Those who survive on milk do not know or do not understand the word of righteousness, it says. And we need a good foundation which is built on. To understand grace, we need to have a good foundation which is built on the person of Jesus Christ. The crucifixion, or the transactions that took place at the cross, and righteousness. And today we're going to look at righteousness, but before we get there, we need to have a look and say that when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, in the ESV version, he says, I decided to know nothing amongst you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we need to understand then that Paul didn't say, I didn't know anything else. He just said, I decided to know nothing more than this, is because this is foundational, and this is what we need to understand and to grasp and get into our hearts. And then he, in the writer in Hebrews 6, says again that this, we need to have the knowledge of the word, of understanding of righteousness and what that means. And so many of us have never grasped and understood what that means. And I hope by the end of today, and if you listen today and you take notes or don't take notes, I suggest you get a pen and paper, because I'm going to use a lot of scripture today. I think it's always better than me trying to expound, though sometimes we just use the word and let the word explain for itself. And today is one of those days. So I have a plethora, a multitude of verses that we're going to read through quite quickly today. Paul says that he's a master builder. We look at the fivefold ministry today. We see it in Ephesians chapter 4, and we see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we always love the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists, but we've ignored the apostles and prophets. But it's all together. We can't just separate and say, well, that's a little bit weird. We don't quite understand that stuff, so we just can ignore that. It's a fivefold ministry, not a threefold ministry. And so we need to know that Paul says, I am a master builder. I built on a foundation, but the only one who really laid the foundation was Jesus Christ. And you'll hear a number of times when he says he is the cornerstone who has now become the capstone. And Jesus became the cornerstone and laid the foundation. And when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to the church. And he said, I'm giving gifts to the church. And then some people say, well, that's when the 12 died, that all died, and we don't see that in scripture, because it says until, and then we know we have pre-ascension apostles, which were the 12, and then we have post-ascension apostles, which tells me that they still carry on today. But not everyone who says I'm an apostle is an apostle. And we looked at when he says we need to build with gold and silver and precious stones, and not with wood and hail and stubble. And remember, we did that whole thing where we come at the end of our life, at the end of time. And this is just the way I see it, a picture for us. When we arrive at the gates and the door opens, this flame is going to come out and it's going to consume everything that we carry. Look, Lord, look what I did. Look what I got. Whoosh. If we built with wood and hay and stubble, we're going to go, okay, I really have nothing. But if we built with gold and silver and pretty semi-precious stones, just an analogy, of course, I'm going to raid your wife's diamond rings in there and start. We will be rewarded for what we have built. Every act of random kindness that we have done. Scripture says that even when we gave in His name a glass of water, as we are building something, we are building for the kingdom. So, well, you could say, it's easy for you, Mark, because you get to preach every Sunday. No, guess what? You get to preach every day of the week. Monday to Friday, you get to preach. Okay? Stay. Sit. When we get the foundation right, remember when we used the game analogy? We understand that when we get the foundation right and everything is right, we can play the game. But if we don't get the foundation right, then we can't really play the game because we don't know the rules. We don't understand, well, what the number on my back means. When we see that, it comes alive to us. Because when we get the foundation of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, who He is, what happened at the cross, what is the importance of the cross? And my righteousness imputed to me, not of myself. Then we can get excited. Then we can do this thing. Then we can play this game. That's when we get, now when we were away a couple of, last month before that we were away, I preached on, Daddy has dibs on me. You know the word dibs? Daddy has discipline on me. Daddy gives me my identity. Daddy gives me my belonging. Daddy gives me my security. He has dibs on me. And when we understand these foundations, we say, my Father in heaven has dibs on me because I am precious in His sight. Then we don't have to worry about everything else that's going around us. He has covenanted with me to an intimate time. And I mean, on Wednesday night when we had the prayer meeting, I really felt the Lord say to me, and sometimes we were like, it was like, we always sit down to dine with Jesus. Whenever we get together, we sit down and dine with Him. And it was sometimes it's like just the 13 of them, you know, 12 and Jesus, 13. Just so you know, my math's not off. When they sit down, and it's nice and it's close, and they were having one. And then when they were in the upper room, the 120, and they got all excited up there, and they prayed, and they dined with the Lord there. But on Wednesday night, it was such an intimate, tender time, and the Lord said to me, tonight is a table for two. When it was so intimate with one another, with me and Him, and I could see the picture of me and Jesus sitting down at the table together, just covenanting. We need to learn that He is the eternal atoning priest, once and for all, and for all, and for all, and for all. Doesn't matter what we do. This is good news, because in our humanness and in our fleshly manner, we mess up often. Was that just me? Anybody out there? There we go. I feel like Pink Floyd. We need to learn to train ourselves for godliness. I know some of you get it. Others are giving me that blank stare.
Is there anybody out there?
There we go. Jenny got it. Here we go. I said last week, and I'm going to say it again. Did I offend you, lovey? She's heard me sing the rest of it. She's out here. We need to train ourselves for godliness. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week. God has spoken to some of you about some things, and you've said, yes, this is the word from the Lord, and I'm going in this direction, and then you've gone away and thought about it for a while and said, no, in actual fact, I'm going to try this way. The Lord has given you a word. He's told you to give up some stuff. He's told you to stop doing some stuff. He said to you, walk in this direction, and you ignore His voice. We learn to not mess around with God and His word. We learned about the person of Jesus Christ. that He is the eternal Almighty Creator. He is the eternal High Priest. He is the eternal sacrifice of atonement. He is, Jesus is immutably good and faithful. And I'm going over these points because this subject, we could take a whole year to try and get through it. I'm simply scratching the surface, and I trust you will hear something and you will go away and think about it and say, wow, I need to know more about Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. I need to get a deeper revelation. Lord, give me a revelation of the transactions that took place at the cross. Lord God, I see in your word at the end of today that I am your righteousness. It's not of myself. What happened at the cross? Firm foundation. Last week we looked at this. We were redeemed from slavery. For he stood on the block and he broke our chains and set us free. He redeemed us with the blood of his body, with his shed sacrifice on the cross. He took all the sin upon him. He became our propitiation. He became that which appeased the wrath of God against us. And that's why we can full assurance say, God is not angry with me. Come on, self-talk. God is not angry with me. And sometimes we need to get that in because we hear it and by the time we walk out the door, we've forgotten it. And then we think, if I mess up again, God's going to beat me with the big stick. I'm going to live in guilt and I'm living in condemnation. The scripture says clearly, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The question we must ask, are we in Christ Jesus? You know, when you read scripture, do me a favor, read it as a condition and a promise. When we understand the condition, we will accept the promise. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Condition, am I in Christ Jesus? Promise, there's no condemnation. Revelation, hello. Stay with me, come on. We were justified. You've heard it so many times. Just as if I had never sinned. And then we go along and we still feel guilty and we still feel condemned. We still feel unworthy. And if you like me, believe it or not, I am a shy person. And I did blush this morning and feel uncomfortable. You? No ways. Yeah, me. Bridget's the butterfly, you know. Meet everybody. Anyway, I don't know why we're going there. We were reconciled. I've been reconciled to the Father. What is my ministry? I don't know what the ministry God's given me. I'll tell you what the ministry is. Very clear in Scripture. He says He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You have been reconciled to the Father. Go and be a witness and reconcile others to the Father. Be the voice, the oracle that speaks His word. Our sickness was taken. Kier did a wonderful salvation and sickness, the two twins that walk side by side. Our curses were broken and removed. Well, what about Deuteronomy 28? Well, what about it? Do you know that there are scriptures that are in the Bible that do not apply to you today? What? No, we're not under the curse. And it says there in Deuteronomy 28, 45 or somewhere around there, I can't remember right now. It says there that the poverty will come upon you. All these curses, if you do this, you'll get that. And if you do, and eventually towards the end, yeah, I think there's 54 curses there, which do not apply to me. Why? Because I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am His righteousness. And you are too. Hallelujah. Come on. And it says that when it says poverty is poverty and sickness and bereft of everything. And we take it down to poor. I don't have a lot of money. I understand. We had a friend who felt poor and she had 25,000 rand in the bank still, or dollars. She said, oh, I'm so poor. No, man, when I said we're poor and we got $2 in the bank, that's what we meant. When we said there was no food in the fridge, we meant that. There was no food in the fridge. It's relative to how you see it. But Jesus hung upon the cross in poverty and in nakedness, as it says in Deuteronomy, and bereft of everything. He took upon us the curse of poverty and He broke it. You don't have to live there. Accept it. Thank you. This is still the introduction. Come on, stay with me. The Divine Exchange by Derek Prince. He says this, Jesus took our place. He was punished that we might be forgiven. He was wounded that we might be healed. He was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made the righteous with His righteousness. He was given over to death that we may share His life, because He is the resurrection and the life. He was made a curse that we might share His blessing. He endured our poverty that we might share His abundance. I came to give you life and life abundantly. Come on. He bore our shame that we might bear His glory. Wasn't that being a little bit arrogant? No. I'm an heir of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He endured our rejection that we might have acceptance with the Father. You don't have to accept rejection. We don't have to live, well, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to let the devil run around in my head. I am the King's son. I am the King's daughter. This is good news. Come on. He was cut off that we might be joined eternally. He put our old man to death so our new man could live. Thank you, Jesus. So we looked at the person of Jesus Christ, the transaction that took place at the cross, and today we want to look at the gift of righteousness. So first of all, we need to understand that there are two kinds of righteousness. Number one, there's the self-righteousness, which is based on my self-effort and what is dependent on the law. We looked at that a little bit last week. It is works that I accomplished. It bodes well for my boasting, because I have to prop myself up so that I can feel good, because I do not understand that my Father has dibs on me. That He disciplines me, He gives me identity, He gives me a belonging in His family, and He gives me security. And it's one of the greatest things that we need is security. We need to know that I'm secure in my Father's love. We need to know that I have assurance of salvation. When you say yes to Jesus, let it just be a yes and an amen. I'm self-righteous, or the self-righteousness, because I pray more than everyone else. I give more than everybody else. I read my Bible more than everybody else. I am more spiritual than everybody else because I hear from God more than everybody else. And you know what happens when you set that kind of bar for yourself? You have to keep up the performance. Over the hoop, round the corner, through the... Ever watch those dogs do that agility thing? I used to do that with my dog, and he got so good at it, I used to say, on your marks, get set, go, and then I'd just watch him. And he was back. I didn't have to run with him. But once you've set the bar on your self-righteousness, now you've got to perform to keep that up. You know, it's the same as the guy who you go to the restaurant with and he always wants to pay all the time because, hey, I'm the rich dude. And then the next time you go out, he's got to be the rich dude again. Or maybe he's not. Maybe his credit card's just maxed out, but there's this persona he wants to throw. And sometimes we want to throw the spiritual persona. Well, you know how many times I read my Bible. Well, under the law, you could have just read it one more sentence, one more verse. That would have helped you. It would have made you feel better. Now, I'm not suggesting in any way or means that you shouldn't read your Bible and pray and give and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying that's not what qualifies you. That's because it should be, because I have such a love for the Father, I want to know His Word. I have such a love for His Son that I want to communicate with Him. I have such a love for the Holy Spirit. I want Him to be in everything that I do, every decision that I make. And the reason I give is not because under law, under compulsion, it's because I want to see the kingdom of heaven extended, the kingdom of earth extended. Yeah. Of course, now there is the other righteousness, is God's righteousness, which is a free gift because I believed. Because I believe in the Son of God. There is no boasting needed here. It's a righteousness that is imputed, which means is credited, or a quality that has been extended to me through the Son of God and my Father in heaven, who is good to me. So now when we look at righteousness, Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Psalm 118:22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And we have to remember that when they built in those days, it wasn't like they had all the square measures and everything else. Pieces of string and pieces of wood maybe. But when they had set the area, then they would take the cornerstone and place it in one of the corners, cornerstone. And from there they would build out and build whatever they were going to build. And we need to understand that He is the cornerstone, and when we said later, He is the capstone. So let's go to Hebrews 6:1. See, there's just some foundational doctrines to understand. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washing or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment, all Christian 101 stuff. But what is interesting, it says, let's go and not lay again the foundation of repentance. What is he saying? It's a repentance from lifeless works. It's all the works that I feel that I have to do, from works that cause death or condemnation, that have no vitality of life. And we think we need to go and repent and repent and repent. Well, the word repentance means metanoia, which means to change your mind about what you were doing and behaving and thinking and the direction you were going in. So if you've repented, heartfelt repentance, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you've changed your mind, you remember I said to us, we've become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. It's not like I get an oil change out and I need a new valve and I need this change. When we become, when we are reborn and our spirit comes alive, we're a whole new creation in Christ Jesus. It's like I become a brand new me. And I think differently and I behave differently. And repentance gives you a new brain. So to go and say, well, I need to repent of this and I repent of that and repent of the other and repent of the other. We need to understand repentance is not saying I'm sorry. We've dumbed it down to just saying I'm sorry. But it's not. It's a once and for all action. And then we say, I've repented, I've changed my mind, I've metanoid, I've headed in a new direction, I'm going to follow Christ Jesus. A change of mind of those who abhor their errors and misdeeds and have determined to enter upon a better course of life so that it embraces both a recognition of sin and sorrow for it and a hearty amendment, the tokens and the effects of which are good deeds. That's from Thayer's lexicon, just so you know. So it means a total change about of what I'm doing. When we have repented, have you had a change about? Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. When we become a new creation, when we move on in God, we don't have to keep self-justifying ourselves to God to get God's favor. And that's what we do. Well, I don't really get it, but if I'm really good and I do more and I do more and I do more, then I'll get God's favor. Let me tell you today, you never heard this before, let me say it again. You cannot do more than you're already doing to get God's favor. Did that sink in? You cannot do any more than you are doing today or have ever done to get more of God's favor. God gave Jesus wholeheartedly, as I said last week, the package deal. Jesus said, I paid with the package deal. I want the package deal. I don't want pieces. I told you, remember last week I spoke about when I went and bought my new hi-fi with the bouncing lights? I wanted the whole package deal. I wanted the bouncing lights. I know I was 20-something, but the bouncing lights were important to me then. But the foundation stone has also become a stumbling stone. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good. Down to verse 6. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And that's why we have this condemnation and the guilt, because we haven't understood that he is the cornerstone. That the honor for us, that his glory, his imputed righteousness to us, is to our credit that he gave us, and not because of what we've done. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. The law cannot give you the righteousness from God. The law will give you a self-righteousness. This is just scripture. This is not me and clever ideas. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. The Jews were going around being Pharisaical, going along and doing the thing, and no, you have to do this, you have to do that, these are the three things you must do this day, these are the four things you must do that day, trying to attain it. But the silly Gentiles just came along and said, like Abraham did, if you say it, God, we believe it, there it's done. Because it was given through faith. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, that whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. This is not based on law, it's based on faith. The two are mutually exclusive. You have to choose. You can't live like this. I'm living in this camp and I'm living in this camp. You'll be lukewarm. And what does the Lord say he's going to do with lukewarmness? There we go. So now instead of trying to explain every verse, we're just going to read some healthy scripture. And you need to, you don't need to, but you could write them down if you like. We're going to look at what the gift of righteousness is. Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. That's pretty clear. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned, through that one man much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I can't help myself. How do we reign in life? Through the free gift of righteousness. Through the grace of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Only in, through, by Jesus. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That's why we need the imputed righteousness of God. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Okay? So that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. We said a number of times that the law was there as our schoolmaster to lead us and to show us our sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Exclusively separate. Although the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He has passed over former sins. That is good news. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by works. Just seeing if you haven't dozed off. The righteousness shall live by faith. Romans 4:13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring. But isn't that Old Testament? Yeah, it is. Remember I said to you a couple of weeks ago that the covenant with Abraham was a covenant of grace? That he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Abraham wasn't even a Jew. He was heathen. And he said, Lord, you said it, I believe it. And God said, to you it has been given righteousness. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. If it is by law and by works and self-righteousness, then the promise given to Abraham, of which we are the recipients and we walk in that favor today, it's null and void. I'd be standing up by now and waving my hanky or something. Just thought. For God has done what the law weakened. Thanks, Susan. Thanks for the flesh could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Romans 10:4. This is getting boring. This is life. This is understanding. That is not self-righteousness. This is the righteousness of God imputed to me. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Well, that's pretty straightforward. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. So this, now we're going back to the Mosaic law, and he said, if we live under the Mosaic law, we live under the Ten Commandments, and we live under everything else that talks about in James 2 verse 10, then we're good to go. But that is not going to help us, because we're not going to attain it. We're going to always feel, I could have done more, I should have done more, I have to do more, I've got to do more. It'll be like the dog going through the, over the hoops, around the. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. I don't have to. Well, if I go to ascend to the, what does David say in Psalm 138? If I go into the heavens, you're there. If I go to the earth, you're there. If I go to the furthest corners of the earth, you're there. God is everywhere, but it's not like we have to work to get it, because He's not far away. He is near. His word is in our mouth and in our heart. And when we proclaim it, we live it and we have the abundance. That is the word of faith that we bring. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But Mark, it's got to be more difficult than that, more complicated than that. No. Just believe. Repent. Metanoia. Change the way you believe. Change the way you do things. Change the way you speak. Because it's an internal thing that is taking place, not an external thing. Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. That's pretty straight. Galatians 3:11. Now it is evident that one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. It is through faith that I live, that I've been justified through His Son Jesus. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? Certainly not. For if a law has been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. The law cannot give life. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, who have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. The last one in this section. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the way, this is Paul speaking, hey me, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as dung, the Greek word says, rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. It is His righteousness. It's not my self-effort, not anything that I can do to make this all seem so cute. We must choose. We must come to the... We can doggedly go on and say, well, I'm just going to follow this thing, and I'm just going to do this thing, and I'm just going to do my own thing. Because in the human modern society, the spirit of independence is so strong and alive that no one tells me what to do. No one tells me how I should behave. No one tells me. The young people will tell you, this is my body. No one can tell me what to do with it. And you're right. But when we sin, we hurt ourselves. We break the Father's heart. Alternatively, we could abandon our ways and do it God's way. Where we believe, accept His free gift of righteousness, which has absolutely nothing to do with me and my cuteness. When we accept and live according to the security of His love for me, though when I understand my brother Jesus, His Son, the Most High God, when we take hold of the transaction of the cross and this free gift of righteousness that has been imputed to you, if you know the Lord Jesus, you are righteous in His sight. I don't know how to say it any other way. You have received an amazing gift. You are special. You have value. Yeah, absolutely. But we could also say, well, we're under law now, and so we're not under law now. Well, this is all sorted now. I get this Jesus thing. I get the cross thing. I get the righteous thing. So now, hey, well, that's all good. I can go and do what I like. That's because then you just moved from law to licentiousness. You've missed grace along the way. It's like, you know, do not collect 200, go straight to jail. You sent yourself there. That's the same saying, I've laid this foundation now. I've dug the foundation. We've got the cornerstone in place. Okay, let's move in. Or, well, I've watched the game on TV a bit. I've listened to a few techniques. Come on, man, put me in a uniform. Let's go do this. We need to know what that foundation means. We then take the foundation. This is just Christianity 101. We take that and then we build on the foundation. And then we can move into the house that He has built for us. So what is it, the end of this thing then, helps us? Because we have been called to live holy. We've been called to live worthy of His name, of His kingdom. We live a holy life, we live a worthy life, we avoid sin, we learn to say, no, I'm not doing that. In just case any of you were thinking otherwise, when Vince said we're in the bathroom together, the washroom together, he meant him and his brother. Not him and Sherry. I thought it could come across that way. His brother was doing the videography. I just thought I'd help you, bud. We weed out the things that are harmful to us, harmful habits that we have. We press into God. We go deeper. We go further. We actually should work hard. Laziness is not accepted in the Bible. When we understand this, my dad has dibs on me, we are secure. And we can build the foundation, we can move into the house, and we can live joyously. We have this free gift. Bow our knee to the King of Kings. Last couple of scriptures to finish. We are called to a holy living. Again, I'm just going to use scripture so that you see that this is not a great idea of mine. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 1 Peter 1:15, but as He who called you is holy, you also, me also, be holy in all your conduct. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The thought just came to me now. Now He's telling us now we have to work to be holy. No. Just say no to sin. No to ungodliness. No to unrighteous behavior. Live in His favor. He has given it to you. All we have to do is walk in it. So I say, yeah, let me give you a brand new pair of Nikes. Just walk in them. Don't examine them. Don't think about how much they cost. Don't think about what it was meant for them, or am I meant to run in them, or jump in them, or sleep in them. No, just wear them. Just walk in them. Be happy. Called to live worthily, worthy. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Colossians 1:10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. The point I'm making is that we still have a responsibility. It's not like you paid for the cruise and now I'm just going on the cruise and I can just do what I like. Because it started off uh, I'm trying to find the... says, I am now a prisoner of God's grace. I might have got to not put that one in. But we need to understand that we have been set free to live abundant lives in Jesus Christ. But I cannot be licentious. I need to just accept the grace, accept His righteousness, and live in it. Let's just end it there today. Look how I did well. But it's not about me. I hope these last couple of weeks that you've been able to take hold of something and be encouraged in it. Change your thinking about the way you think about things. Change the way about how you see Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. How you see the transactions that took at the cross. Go and do a self-study on those words like justified and propitiation, expiation, justification, redemption. All those things. Get it into your spirit, man. So when the enemy comes along and he puts thoughts into your head, you go, no, actually I know this. I know this one. I know where you're going on this one. I know what you're going to say to me. Did God really say? Yes, He did. I don't know how many scriptures I used today. God really said, this is His word. This is not my word. I am the righteousness of God. Really? This is where we should get shiny eyes and say, I am the righteousness of God. Not in arrogance, not in pride. In humility, that I belong to a King. I belong to the most amazing Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Creator of the universe who is eternal. Last week we sang, I still can't get it out of my hand. He holds the stars in His hands. Jesus, You are glorious. Consider that concept, not just words we sing. He holds the stars in His hands. He holds the universe together. He is glorious. This is who we serve. Father God, we come to You today, Lord. Let's just stand together. Father, we come to You today, Lord. We thank You for Your words. We thank You for Your scripture. We thank You for the Holy Bible. And Lord God, we help us to have a deeper, more intimate revelation of Your Son, Jesus, our brother, our high priest, Lord God, our coming bridegroom. Lord God, help us to have a deeper revelation of the death on the cross and the resurrection of the cross. Lord God, help us to have a deeper understanding of how You see us in Your righteousness imputed to us. That we are Your children, Lord God, that to Your name be the glory. That our lives are Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. Our sacrifice to You, Lord God, that Your name would be glorified, that our speech would be tempered and sweet, that our actions would be perfected towards You, Lord God. We love You, Lord. You are glorious. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.